You're in a good place now. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight we're talking about relationships. We're talking on spying on our relationship, on our spouse, on our significant other, on our boyfriend or our girlfriend. And how much spying is justified, if any, and what kind of spying is taking place typically now in 2015? You know, there's lots of different types of spying that is typical for 2015, that's typical for right now, that's typical for this day and age. And, you know, it's like we hear people talk about Big Brother, you know, about how Big Brother is watching every move. But, you know, nowadays, some people are saying that so is your spouse. You know, it seems that as global positioning systems actually improve, so do these apps that can track your movements. And it makes it interesting because you can actually use these tracking type applications to track down your spouse, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, even your kids. And it's interesting because there is a growing number of applications that can spy on your husband and your wife and keep tabs on your kids. And recently, Theodore Claypool, privacy attorney and co-author of The Privacy in the Age of Big Data, Recognizing Threats, Defending Your Rights, and Protecting Your Family, he's talked about there's a growing number of apps that will spy on your family for you. And these apps may raise moral and legal questions, but the most invasive can be downloaded onto a phone and will quietly forward emails, calls, and all texts. You know, it's interesting because it is a criminal offense under the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act of 1965 to access any computer, including modern computers like tablets and smartphones, without the authorization of the owner. But if the ownership of the smartphone is under someone else's name, for example, let's say that your spouse's phone is bought and paid for and under your name, or you have the phone service with AT&T or T-Mobile, and you paid for the whole household to get their phones, then there's a gray area because you actually own the phone. The same thing goes for your employer. If you have a phone that has been bought by your employer, they have a right to snoop on you. Now, whether it's responsible, whether it's the right thing to do, that's a different story, but they do have the right. You know, it's interesting because these applications also pop up in divorce cases. A lot of experts say that over 80% of the U.S. divorce attorneys say that they've seen a rise in the number of cases using social networking. You know, according to the American Academy of Matrimonial Lawyers, that's an interesting organization, and more than one third of divorce filings contain the word Facebook. So more than one third of divorces filed actually have the word Facebook, according to a 2011 UK survey by Divorce Online, a legal service firm. Gary Tratzman, a divorce attorney in New London, Connecticut, says that 80% of contested divorce cases involve smartphones or computers. You know, and that's interesting because if you know of any stuff, especially when it comes to divorce law recently, they are allowing text messages to be admissible into divorce court. So FYI, if you are sex texting people besides your spouse, you might want to consider not doing that because that's admissible in divorce court now. It's interesting. And of course, you have to remember that there's many tracking apps that are designed to serve innocent purposes, helping parents be able to track down their children to make sure that they're safe, that they're predator free. Also to help find a lost or stolen phone, obviously. And everybody that's bought an iPhone recently or smartphone knows how expensive these are, and also knows how many times and how often when you lose a phone or it's been stolen, how tragic it can feel because you've lost your pictures, you've lost a lot of memories that you can never get back unless you find that phone. That's interesting. So think about that. Also, there's a lot of other things, too, like the fear of being snooped on. There's a lot of different things that you can do if you're feeling like somebody's snooping on you to hide certain apps, to hide certain videos and pictures and a secret online fall and an online fault, as they would call it. It's called Vault Stocks and the best secret folder if you're on Apple iOS. But, you know, I think that you have to be, you know, you have to kind of be looking over your shoulder at the situation if you're going to be getting these types of apps. Recently, a couple of months ago, an app was released for iPhone and iPad that you can follow your husband, your wife, your children, and even your friends on sites like Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Google Contacts, and LinkedIn. And most social contacts are jumbled and split up across multiple devices, platforms, and applications. But this specific app collects them all in one place. And Ryan Ellis, the chairman and co-founder of this particular app, says that Your Connect Map, it's called Your Connect, Your Connect Map has hundreds of your friends on it for the first time. You can use this app. Unlike similar apps like Foursquare, it doesn't use virtual check-ins, which can prompt users to activate their location settings. Many people don't realize that when they turn on location settings on their phone, the location information can be embedded in shared photographs and status updates as well that go on social media. What's more, the other person doesn't need to have Connect installed or to accept an invitation from that app, which is interesting. So you can still follow people and they don't even have the app. There's another one called Find My Friends for iPhone and Android, and allows you to keep up to the speed of where your spouse leaves work, when your children leave school, or even when visiting friends arrive at the airport. It's interesting. Friends who share their locations with you appear on a map so you can quickly see where they are and what they're up to, according to the official site of the app. And the app syncs with phone contacts and maps on iPhone. Users can also select what other Find My Friends users, what they want to interact with, as well as that is not to be confused with Find My iPhone, which will give you the location of your lost or stolen phone via Apple Maps on a map, and also works for iPod and the iPad Touch. So, you know, I think it's interesting because you have all these applications. We'll talk more about those later on here in the hour. But I first want to talk about, you know, let's talk about these types of different spying techniques. And we've talked about a few of these apps that they have. But, well, you know, think about spying by snooping on someone's phone. Think about that. Think about spying on someone's phone. And there you are, like if it's your spouse, if it's your girlfriend, if it's your boyfriend, you know, waking up in the middle of the night when they're asleep and going through all their text messages, going through all their phone records, checking every email to see if they're screwing around. What about some of these devices? And we'll talk about some more of these devices. There's one called Trick or Tracker. Trick or Tracker 3.0. Many parents want to keep track of their kids, and not just on Halloween. Wayne Irving, a father of four and president and CEO of the Laguna Niguel, California-based technology company Icon Systems, has a novel solution, Trick or Tracker. It's available for the Android or the iPhone and can be used by up to 7 family members at any given time. The app must be downloaded on both parties' smartphones, with their permission, of course. That's a joke there. If you have their login for their phone or their password, you could probably put it on yourself. You know, it can send text alerts when a child has traveled out of a previous agreed area. It has a latchkey kid feature that can ping a parent when a child arrives home. It tracks a phone using the geolocation data contained in text messaging and sends the person's location every 15 minutes. You know, Irving says that it could also be used to track a child in the unlikely event of an abduction, although some online reviewers have complained about its accuracy. Originally, it started at $4.99 when it was launched back in 2013. It's now free on both operating systems. So it's free for the Android and it's free for the iPhone. So think about that. You're not using it for your kid anymore, but you're using it to see where your spouse is every 15 minutes. That allows you to install a device, install an application on your partner's cell phone to begin to find out what they're really up to. What about installing a tracking device on someone's car? We all know that there's, you know, LoJack and those types of systems. What if you use that to track where your spouse is at all times? That happens a lot more than you think. I mean, you know, I'm a therapist. I'm a family and marriage counselor. And I see people do just this all the time. I have people come in here all the time and tell me about how they go through their spouse's phone once a week in the middle of the night and find out what's going on. I've had people come in here and tell me about how they put tracking devices on their wife's car, applications like we've been talking about, to find them, to be able to see them on a map, to know where they are, to know, are they really at the office or are they not? Where did they go for lunch today when they were at work? You know, what about physically following them? You know, you put an application on the phone, you put a tracking device on the car, but what instead if you actually physically follow them? I have actually known people in my life who have done that. I've actually had people call me and I've been talking to them for a while and I'm like, are you in the car? They'll be like, yeah, yeah. I'll be like, you've been in the car for a while. Where are you going? Oh, just nowhere. Just driving around. Okay, what are you driving around doing? Oh, just following so-and-so. What? I mean, every time I thought they were kidding. No, they're not. They don't work and they've been driving around all night, all day, wherever, whatever time, following their significant other, waiting in parking lots, following them to places they eat, sitting there watching them from outside the restaurant, from outside the salon to make sure they actually did go to get their hair cut. They did go to get their hair dyed. They weren't out screwing around. When we return, we'll be talking more about the different types of spying techniques that's typically used in 2015. The different types of spying techniques that are typically used nowadays in 2015, as well as we're going to eventually discuss why someone will want to spy on their significant other, and better yet, what will actually come out of the situation and how to figure out what's going to be the consequences. So stay tuned. When Perspectives returns, we'll be talking more about spying on your spouse. Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back this time in two shakes.
Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives. Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight we're talking about spying on your spouse. Is it justified? You know, and we have to think about when we're talking about justifying spying on your spouse, we have to think about what types of spying is going on in 2015 right now. And I think it's interesting because a lot of times we catch people spying on their significant other's phone, snooping on their phone and adding applications to their phone to be able to snoop even more. And think about it. You know, we all hear about Big Brother. We hear about the government. We hear about Big Brother. We hear about these issues about how they're spying on us, how all these people are spying on us. But think about it. You can actually do that with your spouse or significant other right now. And I was talking earlier in the first segment about how recently in divorce cases, they've been using Facebook, Twitter, Instagram to be able to facilitate certain financial means to one partner or the other, you know, also to be able to say if one person was cheating or not. So FYI, for anybody that's out there sex texting to people that aren't their significant other, you might want to actually think about not doing that because it is admissible into divorce court. Did you know that they can actually use your text messages against you when deciding on who is legitimate and who's not? You know, in 2011, a UK survey by Divorce Online, a legal service, said that they actually use almost one third of divorces, those divorce filings contain the word Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, that people have actually used comments and said things that they probably shouldn't have, as well as 80% of contested divorces involve messages used from a smartphone and computers. I think that's quite interesting. You know, I was talking about earlier as well, some of these applications that you can use to track people. There's one called that Trick or Tracker that you can use to keep track of your kids. However, I'm wondering if a lot of people are using it to keep track of their significant other. All they have to do is download this app on the smartphone, obviously with permission, of course. You know, but there's a gray area. So let's just say that your husband or your wife bought you the smartphone. Let's say that your husband or wife paid for the plan on AT&T or T-Mobile or Sprint, and they own the phone. Well, guess what? It's legal for them to track you. Now, it might not be the right thing to do, but it's actually legal for them to do that. and it's admissible by law and in court and divorce court. So again, I'm just pointing these things out just to safeguard you as well as to educate, because I think that we all need to know what we're dealing with here. You know, there's a lot of ways that people spy. They snoop on someone else's phone. They install tracking devices on the phone. They also install tracking devices on the car. Think about that. They can track your vehicle. They use that with like low jack systems. They can actually track where you are. You know, some people, okay, you remember I'm a family and marriage counselor as well as a syndicated talk show host, but I'm also a life coach. So I have people come in all the time into my office and they tell me about how they actually physically follow their spouse. They physically follow their spouse. They drive in the car and will actually follow their spouse to every single place that they go, whether they're going to get their hair done and they want to make sure that they're actually getting their hair dye put on, or who are they actually eating lunch with during work. They want to know these kind of things. Also, sometimes they will spy on them through their friends and coworkers. And a lot of times you can figure out when you're being watched when your spouse or significant other just randomly shows up at your workplace to just say hi. And those are things that you have to think about. And you have to wonder, are these justified? And so before we really talk about is it justified or it's not, I want to talk first about some of my clients. Some of my clients come in and tell me about how they snoop on their boyfriends, how they snoop on their girlfriends, right? They snoop on their wife or they snoop on their husband, and they snoop on them using their phone, reading their text messages. And a lot of times they wait until the spouse or the girlfriend or boyfriend is asleep, and they get up and they get on their phone and they check every single text message, every single, the whole entire phone log they look at. They look at all the emails, all kinds of interesting stuff. So I might want to be aware of that. But let's find out, why would somebody want to snoop and spy on another person? And that's what I want to ask tonight. And I think this is, let's get down to the brass tacks of the reason why this is even there. And I think the first thing is suspicions. I think when people are suspicious, they have a tendency to want to snoop. And what would make you suspicious? I mean, think about it. What would make me suspicious? If I was suspicious, it would be based on the way somebody was acting. If they were acting distant, if they were kind of angry, kind of passive aggressive, perhaps, as well as if they had made some major changes in the last week or two. So their looks, their attitude. Are they staying late at work constantly? Can you not get in touch with them? Are they very difficult to get in touch with? Do they never seem to be where they are or going where they are? There's like the suspicious activity, right? And for some of you men out there, you're thinking, okay, you know, if you haven't had sex with your wife within a certain period of time, if you're normally very touchy-feely and she goes from one extreme to another. For a lot of you women out there, men that are staying late at work, constantly late at work, their job's not that intense. They're coming home a lot talking about, you know, how they had to stay late, how all this stuff happened. And at the same time, they seem kind of irritated, but they're also being distant, but argumentative. So how argumentative, you know, can you be while you have suspicions? And I think that when people are argumentative and they're kind of pushing back, that means that, you know, maybe you can be suspicious of that. But I think another reason why people actually spy on their significant others is because they have trust issues. They've been burned in the past. They've been lied to. They've been cheated on in the past. And better yet, they want to make sure this doesn't ever happen again. And I understand that because, you know, when you've been cheated on, you get scared, you get gun shy, and you're like, you know, I don't want to be made fool of again. However, I've seen clients that come in and are in a great relationship with a woman or a man that really truly loves them, but they can't get past their trust issues. And eventually their trust issues and their abandonment issues will get in the way of them actually finding a true, happy, and consistent relationship and lead to a marriage. Normally they'll ruin it before it gets that far because they're wanting to kind of find something, because in their head they think, okay, this person's going to cheat. Everybody else has always cheated on me. Everybody I've ever loved has screwed me over and hurt me and taken my heart and ripped it out of my chest and ruined it. But sometimes we have to sit back and actually reset. And I'll talk later on about how to do that, because we have to reset our past issues. Just because other people cheated on you in the past doesn't mean that the present person is going to cheat now. Okay, that's really key, because if we want to be happy in life, we have to accept the fact that not everybody's the same. actually, people can be quite different. And even though you were cheated on in the past, doesn't mean that this is a set deal. I mean, I've been cheated on. I mean, I'm sure that most people, half and half of the people watching this right now and listening to this show have been cheated on. The other half of the people have probably cheated. I mean, come on, let's be honest here. How many people haven't thought about having sex with somebody else when they're in a relationship? How many people haven't thought about going out on a date with somebody when they're in a relationship? We have to be honest here. We're all human beings. Whether or not we do the right thing, whether we need to do what's right by society or what we think is right by marriage, that's to be determined. And I think everybody has to determine their own thought process. However, I'll be honest with you, being that I am a therapist, the things that matter the most to us, the things that we care about the most, i.e. our value system, if we go against our values too much, we hurt ourselves. So we either have to change our values or we have to change our actions. So if we think that cheating is bad and we go out and we cheat and we have sex with other people, we're going to feel pretty guilty about ourselves, right? However, it just depends on what you value. And I'm not valuing one thing or another. I'm not saying, hey, I'm going to damn you for doing something like that. And I'm not going to say, hey, right on, woo, you know, do it again. No, but what I am saying is that you have to think about your values and understand where you stand and what matters the most. You know, I think another reason why people have a tendency of snooping and spying on their significant other is because they want to find out more. They want to know more. We all kind of want to know a little bit more about our spouse, about our girlfriend, about our boyfriend. We want to know just a little bit more. And I recently had a situation with a good friend of mine come up, and I want to talk about this right now before we go to break. You know, he's been dating a girl that lives in another state. They live across the country from each other, you know, and I understand, you know, she lives in New York, he lives in California, but, you know, she wants him to move out to New York, and he's talking about it. But recently, the other day, he was on Facebook and saw a video party, a pool party that she went to up in the Hamptons, and saw this video of a pool party that happened right before. And I'll talk about this when we return because I think this is interesting. But what he saw did not make him happy. What he saw upset him, stressed him out, made him feel as though she's been lying to him the whole time. And he texted me and he said, I got an idea for a show for you. What's worse to hear, that your girlfriend's cheating on you from your friends or from her friends or from watching it on a video on social media? Wow. And I don't know what would be worse, but I'll tell you that I think both of them are pretty bad. But the last thing that I'd want to do is see that on social media. So when we return, I'll be talking about what he actually saw and how he dealt with it. Later on, I'll be talking more about why or if people spy, and better yet, what you might actually find out from spying, good, bad, or indifferent, and how to really determine if spying is the right way of action of going by it, and why you should and why you shouldn't. So stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back this time in two shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight we're talking about spying on your spouse. Is it ever justified? You know, we're talking about the types of spying that's involved. You know, there's a lot of different types of spying now in 2015 that we can use. You know, snooping on with someone else's iPhone, their cell phone, installing tracking devices, better yet, installing tracking applications to someone else's phone. Yes, it happens every day and twice on Sunday, by the way. They also have a thing called phone tracker. We talked a little bit about some of these other things, the trick or tracker and the Find My Friends. But they also have phone tracker, which is marketed to families with busy schedules and employers who want to track their employees during work hours. It combines mapping and GPS technology to let you track your phone plus one other for free on Android and iPhone. You know, you can follow 10 users with a 99-cent upgrade. The app does not have to be open to work, and it can locate another person's movement within the previous 24 hours and within 30 feet. It can be programmed to log locations every 2 to 60 minutes. Can't believe this. I mean, seriously, to follow another person, they must use the app too, though, and they're for a glimpse, and it shares estimated arrival times, even the speed your spouse is traveling at in their vehicle. What about one called AccuTracking? Yes, guys, this is true. This is 2015. If somebody wants to track you and find out where you are and what you're doing, guess what? They can. Okay? They can. They really can. Now, whether it's justified, whether it's legitimate. Now, again, if you go back to the ruling, if that person, if another person owns your phone, i.e., let's just say that your spouse bought the phone under their name, it's legal. It's legal for them to track you and to put a tracking thing on your phone. Seriously. And you got to think about this kind of stuff. And even if it's not legal for them, some people are doing it anyway. What about installing tracking devices on your car? What about physically following people to and fro? Spying on your spouse, your girlfriend, boyfriend through their friends or coworkers? What about showing up randomly at work to just see if you're there? You know, AccuTracking is pitched for GPS vehicle tracking for companies and a way for parents to keep a tag on their children. AccuTracking has been around for over a decade, even before the advent of Google Maps. You know, they say that their vision is to provide low-cost and simple-to-use applications that enable the tracking of any number of targets wherever and whenever the user chooses. Knowing where your vehicle, employees, and physical assets are in real time on your desktop computer is a valuable management and a cost control tool. It costs $5.99 per month, and the app is downloadable through your phone's web browser. You know, but Singer advises caution when downloading software onto your phone that is not approved. At the App Store, the Apple App Store does not support AccuTracker, and Apple has done an exceptional job protecting its phones, he said. So once you jailbreak that phone, guess what? All bets are off. So let's think about this. So you got all these applications that you can follow everybody with, okay? So you can follow everybody at any time. You can install tracking devices on their car. You can find out how fast or slow they're driving to and from work. You can spy on them. You can do the old way of just actually driving there to find out what they're doing. And recently, right before the break, I was talking about how a friend of mine recently found out that his girlfriend was cheating or in a precarious situation in an odd, out-of-the-box type way. I mean, we all find out sometimes by friends and some people that have a big mouth and other people that just want to, you know, see you squirm. You know, you also hear about it when people just accidentally go someplace, maybe in the wrong place at the wrong time, what have you. But all in all, when was the last time you saw your spouse or girlfriend or boyfriend in a precarious place on Facebook video? On a Facebook video. And so a friend of mine actually saw his girlfriend, you know, basically riding, physically sitting on a man, moving back and forth, and got several kisses at a drunken pool party. And so it wasn't straight up having sex, but, you know, that is a precarious situation. And at first he didn't know what to do about it, but he eventually had to ask her what she had done the day before, the night before. And he was hoping that she was just going to come clean, but she didn't. So eventually he had to point out the fact that she was on video. Not only on video, she was on video on a Facebook page of a company that does party production in New York City. And they do stuff in the Hamptons. And this was a pool party in the Hamptons where the alcohol was flowing. And she was caught on video jumping on this guy. He either pulled her on him. I don't know. We're not going to get into the actual specific details right now. Yes, I have seen the video. I was brought, the video link was sent to me, and I did see the video, and it was quite precarious. I mean, it's one of those things. Yes, definitely. You probably wouldn't do something like that in front of your spouse, your girlfriend, or boyfriend, because it would be probably not considered very good. And, you know, that's an interesting thing. And I think a lot of times, and this particular person has dealt with, you know, somebody cheating on them before in the past. So you have somebody that sees this video, and they're dating somebody, and they're scared enough because they've been cheated on. And so let's talk about this, because how much spying on your spouse or partner is legitimate? How much is permissible? And how much is really honestly allowed? And I think you have to look at it when somebody... Why, actually, would somebody spy on someone else? And I think, first off, it's because they are suspicious. They're suspicious that there's certain activities that are going on that they would like to know a little bit more of. Maybe the person's acting a little strange. Maybe they're acting a little odd. Maybe they're acting distant. Maybe they're avoidance. Maybe they're showing home up late, acting a little odd. Whatever. Suspicious. Maybe they smell like different perfume or cologne. Maybe it's happened a couple of times in a row. You don't know if somebody's really showing up to a meeting with heavy cologne, or are they getting heavy, down and dirty with it? You know, what about trust issues? A lot of people have trust issues. A lot of us have probably been screwed around on and cheated on in our past. And so there's some trust issues that you deal with every relationship. But, you know, the thing is that you have to watch what baggage you bring in. And I agree that it's awful when you get cheated upon. But eventually you have to get over it. And that's one thing that I deal with in my therapy session. You know, I'm a marriage and family counselor. And I'm also a certified life coach as well. And so in both of these situations, I deal with lots of clients who are married. And one person in the marriage thinks the other person is always having an affair. That is sometimes based on the fact that that person in the past has been cheated on. And thinks that everybody cheats. Or the person that they think is cheating has cheated back in the past one time and has been dealing with it for the rest of their life. Or the person that thinks the other person's cheating is actually cheating. And so there's this whole kind of backlash thing where they're actually cheating on their spouse and they're forcing that thoughtful of cheating on the other because they're doing it and they assume that everybody else is doing it. A little bit of guilty conscience melted on top with a strawberry and whipped cream. What about people want to just find out more? They want to know more. You know, we have all these tabloids out there. We want to know more about everybody. Want to know more. What's so-and-so doing? What's so-and-so doing? Are they legitimate? I remember recently Jada Pinkett and Will Smith. They were talking about their marriage. And I guess there was a write-up done about it. And it sounded like they were swingers. Sounded like they had an open marriage. And a lot of people got down on them about it. And who knows if that is or is not. I am not in their marriage. I am not married to either one of them. Therefore, I am not going to freak out about it. However, what does it matter? But we have to sit there and think about it. A lot of us look at it and say, you know, well, I'm having to do this. I'm having to do that. But I think that a marriage, it's a two-way street. And I think that we all want to know more and we want to find more out about our spouse, these secrets, these things we want to know. We want to find out about Hollywood. We want to find out them. We want to find out what our spouse is doing. I think some of it is boredom, just straight up boredom. You're bored in your life. You're bored in your marriage. Maybe you're just bored in general and you decide, you know, I'm just going to do some snooping. I'm going to do a little bit of snooping. I'm going to find out what's going on. I'm going to get to the bottom of something, or I'm just going to snoop because I'm bored. Seriously, how many of you, okay, judgment-free zone right now. It always is a judgment-free zone here on Perspectives. Always more answers, less questions. But how many of you have house-sit for a friend and gone through a couple of their drawers? Not to take anything, just to look. Was it curiosity? Or was it boredom? And I think curiosity and boredom are two reasons why people spy on their significant other, as well as that they've always done it. They've done it to everybody. This is no new news. They've always spied on everybody they dated. They've always spied on everybody they live with. This is their way of life. They spy on the other person. They should have been in intelligence. They should have been in the military. They should have worked with Snowden, for God's sakes. The point is that these people like to spy. They do a good job of it, and they cover their tracks. I have a friend of mine that I've known since I was a child. We were both children, very young when we met. We were in the single-digit ages. We still talk to this day. We're still good friends. And he's one of those spies that will actually cover up your feet tracks, his shoe tracks. He actually, when he wants to go find something, he'll take off his shoe and his shoes in a specific place. He'll only wear socks. He'll tread lightly, and then he'll actually take either the vacuum and re-vacuum the entire room and vacuum himself out of it, where you're vacuuming all the way through the room and then you walk out and then vacuum that part, or he'll actually cover his tracks and actually go back and smooth them down after. That is a true spy, and he's been doing it forever. So stay tuned. We're going to be talking about more of the reasons why people spy, as well as we're getting into what will actually come out of it, what might be the end result of it, and how to know if this is really right or wrong, or if you should be doing it or not. Check out AshleyBurgess.com as well for any past shows that you may have missed or you're interested in or want to share with your friends, coworkers, family at AshleyBurgess.com, as well as www.AshleyBurgessNetwork.com. If you want to listen to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess 24/7, you got a spot to do it at. Stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. Be back this time in two shakes. You could
be my luck. Get in here. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, tonight we've been talking about spying on your spouse. How much spying is justified, and well, how are people actually going by spying nowadays? What's been going on? And we talked about the snooping on someone's phone, about, you know, loading up various applications on people's smartphones and being able to actually follow them and know where they are at any given time and space. You know, installing tracking devices on people's cars, physically following them, that's old school, as well as spying on them through their friends and coworkers. Or, better yet, just showing up randomly at their place of work. Now, why would somebody want to do this? Why would someone want to do this? The suspicion issues, the trust issues, they want to find out more. Maybe they're just bored. What about that they've always done it? It's part of their mode of operandi. They've always done it. They've always checked up on whoever they were dating, and they're not going to stop now. They are a control freak and want to be in control of everything. What about scared? They are just downright scared that that person is going to cheat on them. They're downright scared that somebody's going to cheat on them, and they want to know before it happens if something's going to happen. They want to know so they can safeguard their heart, but does that really safeguard their heart? I mean, spying, I don't know. I mean, is it better to find out that way? I mean, I think that if things are supposed to happen, they kind of come out in the wash. And I know that sounds really odd, but I think that if things are supposed to come out, they do. If they don't, they don't. But I think it also depends on your relationship with that other person. How secure are you? I mean, I had recently a lot of people who checked the Ashley Madison database after that was hacked, to find out if their wife or husband or girlfriend or boyfriend, to find out if they were on Ashley Madison. And I couldn't believe it, because most of them said that they couldn't find their spouse or their girlfriend, their boyfriend. You know, they might have found a family member, but they didn't find the person that they were married to. And they asked me if I had done it. I said no. And they said, why? And I said, because I'm secure in my marriage. I mean, I know that I've been married longer than they have, and some people might say that it's just, you know, you've just been married too long, you don't really care anymore. But no, I think it's because you're either secure or you're not. And it's like, you know, there's certain things in life where you say, you know what, I love my spouse, I care about them. And you know what, it might not always be perfect. Marriage is usually far from perfect. However, I mean, if you really care about the person and you're also very good friends and it's somebody that you really get along with, it's going to last the test of time. And I think a lot of times, too, it just depends on how secure you are. And I understand, though, if you've been cheated on in the past and you've been cheated on by somebody that you really cared about, especially an ex. So let's, for example, you ended up getting divorced over it, or maybe they ended up divorcing you because they fell in love with that other person. That can really hurt. And I've had clients who have come in my doors at my office and talked to me about how their wife or husband left them for someone else. And that is painful. And I get that, because if you're going through that and then you enter into a new relationship, you're always going to worry, is this person going to leave me for someone else? And I understand that stress and maybe the inability to get totally close with them because you don't want to have to do this over again. You know, what about been unfaithful? So you've personally been unfaithful in your past relationships, and you think everybody else is, or you've been personally unfaithful in the current relationship, and you think everybody else is because of guilty conscience, but because you feel that everybody else must be doing it as well. And that happens a lot more than we think. I have clients that come in these doors that have had extramarital affairs, and they begin to think that their wife or their husband is doing the same when nothing's really changed. And a lot of that is also putting the burden on someone else's. I'm not going to think about myself and what I'm doing. Instead, I'm going to assume that they're doing the same thing, and it's going to take a little bit of guilt off my consciousness. Maybe I'm going to presume that so-and-so that works in the office with my wife, they are having an affair together. Maybe that's what I'll assume, and that'll make me feel better about the affair that I'm having with my secretary. And I think that a lot of times we put that burden out there because we feel that if we put that out there, that we don't feel as guilty and that we're not doing something as bad. So let's talk really quick now, though, before we sum up the end of the show, about what we find out when we do snoop. When we do snoop and we do spy on our significant other, what do we find out? First off, we have the trust issue that comes to bear. We already are not trustful of that person, whether they're displaying attitude that's different or whether we're seeing things or what have you, we have lost trust to some degree. On the flip side, if you go and spy on your significant other and they catch you, then they realize that you've lost trust for them, then the trust issue is on the table. And trust is one of the hardest things to get back in a relationship. When someone feels that they are being watched, that they are being criticized, that they're being watched from the sideline, that they're even better yet being spied upon, they feel as though there is no trust. But then again, what if you spy on them and they are indeed cheating on you? And you find out, hook, line, and sinker, that yes, indeed, they've been cheating. What do you do then? What do you do then? And that's a good question, because I think that a lot of us don't want to find that out. So we've been snooping on them. We've been checking up on them. We've been using this application on their iPhone to follow them around. Heck, maybe we're doing the old school way of following them in our car, staying three or four cars back, you know, when they're supposed to be at a meeting, pulling into the, you know, parking lot where they're at and looking inside and being sure they're there and following and watching the people they're with. You could be using a whole combination, a whole slew of spying techniques. But, you know, think about it. What if they are? Do you really want to know that way? What are you going to get out of it? And then what are you going to do next? What are you going to do next? If they are indeed cheating on you, are you going to confront them? Do you want to break up the relationship? And I think that there's a lot of things that have to be thought about, is that when you begin to spy, it's like opening Pandora's box. Do you want to find out what's in that box? And that's the first question that you ask before you even begin to spy. Do you honestly want to know the answer? If you don't start spying. If you do, continue past that. Second, if you find out that they are cheating on you, that they are, yes, they are cheating, check. Do you confront? Do you confront them? Or do you let them reveal it to you? And those are very interesting things, because when you let somebody reveal it to you, you might be waiting. And I recently had a friend of mine that came into my office about a year ago and talked about how They believed that their wife was cheating on them, and so they began to actually record conversations. They did it for a period of a year, and yes, indeed, the wife was cheating, and they waited an entire year for his wife. He waited an entire year for his wife to say, hey, I'm cheating. She never did, and he ended up throwing it in her face one night when he got very angry. And they did get divorced because he ended up forgiving her, and then she ended up cheating on somebody else with him again, and he ended up getting divorced from her, and now he's remarried to a lovely lady that he really loves. But, you know, think about it. Are you ready to hear this? Are you ready to deal with it? If you're ready to hear it, are you ready to confront, or do you want them to reveal it? And then what about on the flip side? What if they are not cheating on you? What if they are not cheating on you? What are you wanting to get out of snooping? What are you wanting to get out of this? Honestly, a lot of times, so for example, think about it. If you think that you have a deadly disease, and for a whole year in a row, a whole year, every single day, you go and you think about it so deeply that you have a disease. You know what? Somehow or not, you're going to get sick. Are you wanting to create an environment where your spouse cheats? You have to also think, do you actually want this drama? Do you want to break up this relationship? And are you wanting them to cheat so you can get out of it? Think about it. Because sometimes when you think somebody's cheating on you and you're doing all this spying, you're dividing up the relationship, you're causing trust issues, but also you are distrustful of them. Is this the right relationship? But better yet, if it is the right relationship, why are you still holding baggage from previous? Yes, indeed, if your ex-husband or your ex-wife cheated on you, and you haven't been able to get over it, and you're in a new relationship, and you're about to get married to someone else, you've got to deal with this before you bring in all this crap into this relationship and ruin it. The last thing you want to be doing is spying on them and pushing them into cheating. Because, you know, it's like the whole thing where they're like, you're cheating on me. I know you're cheating on me. And every single night they come home and you're saying this. Well, eventually they're going to say, you know what? I'm not. But you know what? You treat me like such crap that I'm going to go on and do it because you already think I'm doing it. Or you're just going to push them away. And my advice for tonight is if you're dealing with past baggage, you got to get over it. You might want to write down what ails you, what angers you, what stresses you out, and you got to let it go. You can't have a healthy relationship if you're spying on your husband or wife or girlfriend or boyfriend. It's not healthy. It gets in the way. It causes trust issues. But better yet, you believe in your heart of heart that you can't trust them. And if you can't trust them, then you'll never trust them. So stay tuned. Remember, there's always more answers, less questions here on Perspectives. Check out AshleyBurgess.com, BERGES.com. Check out the Ashley Burgess Network, AshleyBurgessNetwork.com. And remember, get rid of the baggage. If you feel like you need to spy, figure out why. And better yet, you know, a lot of times it's better just to ask the question straight up. Because when you ask the questions, you may get the answer. You may get a right answer. If you ask long enough, you'll also get your answer one way or another. When we begin to spy, we change things. If you still feel like you have to, because you need to know the answer, then go ahead. But this is your life, and you realize there's trust issues. You realize you're formulating a relationship. And better yet, understand that a lot of those trust issues lie within yourself. And most of the time when we trust ourselves, we usually trust who we're with. Check out AshleyBurgess.com, AshleyBurgess.com for any blogs or past shows, as well as the Ashley Burgess Network, AshleyBurgessNetwork.com for all the shows 24/7 on the Ashley Burgess Network. Always more answers, less questions. And you know what? Sometimes we just have to let love be. Sometimes we have to understand that we might not know everything. But if we're with the right person and it matters enough, things will work out. Stay tuned. I got a great show for you next. In Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back this time in three shakes.